Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Samach Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 9 lines from the top. The Gemara opens with a fascinating description of Rav Chisto and Rav Sheshes. Rav Chisto Rav Sheshes ki pagi behadi hadodi, when they would meet up with one another, Rav Chisto mirtaon sifvose mimasnaiso de Rav Sheshes. Rav Chisto's lips trembled at the realization of Rav Sheshes's expertise in Tanaic sources. The Rav Sheshes mirta kule gufe mipupule de Rav Chisto, and Rav Sheshes's entire body trembled at the thought of the immense talent of Rav Chisto in the analysis of Talmud. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Mimasnisei de Rav Sheshes. We said that Rav Chisto's reaction was one of admiration or respect for Rav Sheshes's knowledge of Tanaic sources. Shehoyu mishnayos sduros lo. Rav Sheshes had clarity in the text of the Mishnayos. V'yorei Rav Chisto shelo yakshe loy mi mishna al mishna v'yoyma lo letartzon. And Rav Chisto was worried or wary of being put on the spot, if you will, by Rav Sheshes, who would present to Rav Chisto two seemingly contradictory Mishnayos and ask Rav Chisto to resolve them. So Rav Chisto was concerned about being challenged by Rav Sheshes. And Rashi continues, Mipulpule Chorif, he was sharp, Vesavor Hoya, was a person of analysis, Biyoser, Viomoik Vishaloisov, and he was very deep in the questions that he would raise. That's as far as Rav Chisto is concerned. So you have here two giants in learning, and as the Gemara goes on, Bo Mine Rav Chisto Me Rav Sheshes. Rav Chisto is here the one asking the question of Rav Sheshes, and we have a diamond here, and on the side under our Mivne heading, we indicate Shnei She'elois Rav Chisto Rav Sheshes. There are two questions that Rav Chisto will present to Rav Sheshes. The question number one, first of all, we can benefit by having diagram 14 in the Pirush Chai that you will find on page 139, where you see in the diagram a public thoroughfare, and the caption reads, Shnei Bote Mishnei Tzidei Rishus Harabim. A person has two houses on either side of a public thoroughfare. Ubo Nochrim V'kifu Mechitza B'Shabbos, and on Shabbos, some Gentiles came and fenced off the Rishus HaRabim, as you can see in the picture, forming a type of courtyard in front of these two houses in that sectioned off part of the public thoroughfare. And that's what we have written under our Nosei heading as well. You can see on the side we have the word Sheila in a diamond to correspond to the diamond in the Gemara. Sheila and Shnei Botim Shnei Tzidei Rishus HaRabim V'kifum Nochrim B'mechitza B'Shabbos, and Goyim had set off the Rishus HaRabim, fenced off the Rishus HaRabim, as you saw in the diagram. Mahu Shivatel Zeh Rishuso Lozeh. Now, the two houses, we should just be a little more accurate, more than what we said before. These are two houses owned by two different people on either side of a Rosh Hashanah. Now, it has been converted, if you will, into a type of courtyard by virtue of the fence that the Goyim made on Shabbos. So, naturally, no Eruv was made because at the entrance of Shabbos, when Shabbos began, it was a public thoroughfare. There's no basis for an Eruv. However, now that it's been fenced off, can one renounce his holding in the area in favor of his friend so that at least his friend will be able to carry in and out of his house? So let us now see the Gemara, noting that we have a long question. Bo minei Rav Chisdom Rav Sheshes, shnei botim mishnei tzidei rishus rabim. Two houses on two sides of a public thoroughfare, and they belong to two different people. Ubo nochrim v'kifum mechitza b'shabbes. And Gentiles came and fenced off the Rosh Hashanah, the public thoroughfare, on Shabbos. Mahu. The question of Mahu is, can one of the homeowners renounce his holding in favor of the other, and the other one will be able to carry in and out of his house? So the Gemara, in common form, points out that the question is only according to one manda omar, one approach. And however, according to another approach, there is no question. So the Gemara opens up by saying, Aliba de manda omar, according to this opinion that we're about to see, there is no question. Only a couple lines later will we see where the question really is. So the Gemara points out, Aliba de manda omar, ein bitul rishus mechotzer lechotzer, according to the opinion that says, and this we learned in our previous shiur, that one cannot renounce a holding in one chotzer to people in another chotzer. In order that renouncement, bittul, can take place, you need to have two conditions. One is that they would impose a restriction one on the other, and number two is that there should be a potential for making an eruv. So according to that opinion that says ein bittul rishus mechotzer lechotzer, lo teboyaloch, then there is no question regarding our case. Hashta diibo laruve meesmo motzi ma'arvi. Mind you, in the case of being mevatel rishus mechotzer lechotzer, there was a potential for making an eruv on erev Shabbos and Amris, and you still say ein bittul rishus mechotzer lechotzer. If the other condition is missing, namely that they don't present a restriction one on the other, that would be in a case, for example, of two chatzeros, one next to the other, where each one functions independent of one another. So, in such a case, where there was a potential for making an Eruv, and yet you say, Ein bittul rishus mechotzer lechotzer, if they would not aser one on the other, Hocha, in our case of the Rishus HaRabim that was fenced off, the bo laruvi me'esmo lo motsuma arvi, where if they wanted to have made an Eruv on Erev Shabbos when they had still not been fenced off, so obviously they could not make an Eruv, lo kol shekein, all the more so, there is no chance of being mevatel Rishus. So according to that Manda Omar, who doesn't allow for bittul rishus so quickly, as we pointed out, certainly in our case, there's not going to be a chance of being mevatel rishus. Kiti boyaloch, aliba de Manda Omar yesh bittul rishus mechotz lechotzer. the question will arise according to the opinion that there is the possibility of being mevatel reshus mechotzer lechotzer, even though they don't aser one on the other, even though they don't present a restriction one on the other. So here we have room for asking the question. Hossam, and here the Gemara will present two sides, and that's why we have an aleph, and a few lines later, O Dilma is squiggle underline, bays. So do we say as follows? Hossam di bol aruvi me'asmo motsu ma'arvi. There, in the case of, let's say, two chatzeros, one next to the other, where this opinion says that there is bitol reshus mechotzer lechotzer, that what characterizes that case is that there was a potential for them having joining, for them having to join or having been able to join on Friday. That's the Ebola Ruve Me'esmo Motsum Arvi. There was a potential for them joining, even though they didn't aser one on the other. They didn't present a prohibition one on the other, as is the case in two chatzeros, one next to the other. Betuli nami motzi mevatel. So then there is also room for renouncing of one's domain in favor of the other. In other words, we see this relationship being that if there's a potential for having made an Eruv, in the event that they did not make an Eruv, so there is the chance of being Mevatel Rishus. Aval ha'acha, but in our case, where they were fenced off by the Goyim on Shabbos, the lo motzum arvi me'esmol, where there wasn't even a potential from the day before of making an Eruv, on Friday it was still a public thoroughfare, Betuli nami lo motzi mevatel. So there is no bitol option on Shabbos itself. Oy dilma lo shna. Or maybe we don't make a distinction. Namely, that even though there was no potential for making a ruver of Shabbos, just like we're not makpid on the Osrin ze al ze factor, so we're also not going to be makbid on the chance of having been able to make an Eruv. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Kiti boy aloch alibo demando amar yesh bitol v'afagav the ein osrin mai. Even though they don't present an iser one on the other, they still could be mevatel. Mi amrinon, do we say as follows? Awesome. Who the ibol aruve havu ma'arvi? There, if they wanted to have made an eruv on Friday, they could have done so. V'afogav detarti leko chado mi'o'iko. Even though we don't have the two elements, namely the osrin element and the ma'arvin element, yet bitol takes place, can take place. That's even though two elements we don't have chado mi'o'iko, namely the potential of making the eruv, aval hocha, but in this case of the Rishus HaRabim, the afilu chado leko, here you don't even have even the eruv ability, so lo, there would not be any bitol possibility in the Rishus HaRabim case. Oy dilma, mi de aho lo kopid, from the fact that on the Osrin consideration we're not makbid, aho nami lo kopid, regarding the eruv potential, we're also not makbid. And if that's the case, so then there would be a possibility of being mevatel in this case. That's the question. Omar Le, Rav Sheshes answers, ein mevatlin. In other words, Rav Sheshes is telling us that you do need to have at least one of the considerations, namely the potential for having been able to make an Eruv Erev Shabbos. In other words, in a case where they could have made an Eruv Erev Shabbos, and they didn't. So we say, okay, on Shabbos, one can renounce his holding to the other, and thereby making the house for that person, at least the beneficiary of the bittol, he can carry in and out of his house to the chotzer. But in our case, where you have a Rishus HaRabim that existed on Erev Shabbos, where you didn't even have the Eruv making possibility, so we will not allow Mevatlin. the Gemara continues with the second question, and the fact that we are highlighting this as a second question, this is something that we see in the Mefarshim as well. Meis Nochri B'Shabbos. And you can see the Rashi in this Dibur Masel, Meis Nochri B'Shabbos, Ha Nami Bo Minei. That's an example of what I like to call a marking Rashi, where Rashi takes pains to point out that this too was a question that Rav Chisda presented to Rav Sheshes. Meis Nochri B'Shabbos, what's the case? So Rashi explains in that Dibur HaMaschil, after we read Honami Bomine Shnei Yisraelim V'Nochri Adorim B'Chosir, you have two Jews and a Nochri dwelling in a common courtyard, V'lo Sochru, the Jews did not rent the domain from the Nochri, from the non-Jew, V'lo Yirvu, and they did not make an Eruv. Umeis Nochri B'Shabbos, and the Gentile died on Shabbos. Ma'u Levatil Zelazeh, can one Jew be Mevatil his domain in favor to Mevatil renounce his holding in the Chotzer, so as to enable the other Jew's house to be permitted in carrying items from it into the courtyard? That is the question of the one, a very terse form. And again, note the fact that this question lasts a number of lines. Meis Nochri B'Shabbos. The Nochri died on Shabbos, and the question is, can there be Bittel, as far as the two Jews that remain? Mahu. Aliba, and again, the style of the Gemara is to show us according to whom there is no question, and eventually according to whom there is a question. Aliba deman deomar soichrin lo tiboyaloch. The case that we had in a previous daf, where a goy came on Shabbos into their chotzer, and we say that you can be socher, you can rent from him on Shabbos, and then the rental of the goy's domain thereby removes the goy from the picture, and then you're left with Jews who had not, whose, even if they had made an Eruv, the Eruv became void upon the arrival of the goy. Can they now, and then we say there can be a renouncing of the domain in favor of one of the dwellers. So according to that mandomar, that we allow all of that, the sochrin and then the subsequent mevatlin, lo tiboyaloch, then there is no question. Hashto tarti avdinon chado mibayo. Mind you, there we allow you to do both renting and bitul, and renouncing. So there we allow you to do two things. In our case, where the only issue is, can we be mevatel, the goy died, so there's no issue of schirus, there's no issue of renting from the goy, he's dead. So it's obvious that we will allow the one action of being mevatel. Elokiti boyaloch, aliba de mandomar ein sochrin. According to the opinion, in that case where the goy arrived on Shabbos, he says, we don't allow you to rent from him, and of course, if you can't rent from him, then there's no bittul. So, according to that opinion, what about in our case? So, do we say tarti hu delo avdinon ho chado avdinon? Two things we don't allow, namely to rent from the goy that arrived on Shabbos, and then to be mevatel. That's going too far. We're not going to allow all of that. Ho chado, that's the bittul alone, as would be in our case where the goy died, maybe avdinon will allow that. Oy dilma lo shna, or maybe we don't make a distinction. And namely, just like in that case, we don't allow you to do two things, where this manda omar isn't going to allow you to do even one thing, even bitol as well. Omar le, ani omer mevatlin. Rav Sheshes responds here and says, I say that according to this manda omar, you are allowed to be mevatel. And it's not like the case before of the Nochri arriving on Shabbos, because in this case, the Nochri was there Erev Shabbos, and there, as Rashi says, there had been a potential for renting from him on Erev Shabbos and making an Eruv, so that there was a our case, there is more room for being lenient, because all of the potential for making a kosher situation existed, as opposed to the other case, the case of the Nochri arriving on Shabbos. So I, says Rav Sheshes, say that in this case where the Goy died on Shabbos, Mevatlin. V'hamnuna Omar ein Mevatlin. However, Rav Hamnuna disagrees and says there is no Mevatlin. Rashi says, V'hamnuna Omar ein Mevatlin. Kevon di'i bo'u aruvim esmo lo motzi avdi below schirus. Since on Friday, had they wanted to make an Eruv, they wouldn't have been able to make an Eruv without Schirus. Ein bitol elo b'mokom Eruv. There is no bitol unless there had been an Eruv. And therefore, since they had not rented from the Goy, so then there is no bitol option. As we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, Nochri b'movui. Before actually reading this heading, let's just turn to diagram or illustration 15 to appreciate what we're going to read in our heading. You can see there's a movui, and call it an alleyway, and there is, note the Aleph, there is a window opening to an area outside of the alleyway. Now, in our topic heading, we've noted Nochri b'movui, there's a Gentile living in that alleyway, ubenosaf yeshlo knisa protis, and in addition, he has a private entrance that opens from his house to the area outside, besides his entrance to the alleyway. Now, in general, if you're not dealing with private entranceways and all, the presence of a goy in a chotzer, in a courtyard, or as a member of the alley community, he presents a problem, as we've discussed already in so many of our recent shiurim. The issue that we are going to point out here, is there a way of isolating the goy through an additional halachic means? Up till now, we've discussed things like renting from him his domain, etc. What about this case, the isolation of the non-Jew from the alleyway, thereby removing him from the picture in a halachic sense? So let's turn to the Gemara. Omar Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Nochri Sheish Lo Pesach, Arbo Al Arbo, a Gentile that is a member of the alleyway where the other members are Jews, and he has an opening, a window measuring 4 by 4 tvochim, Posuach Lebika, that opens into an open field. And we have this double underline to highlight different cases. Unto where is the window opening? So you have here Posuach Lebika, later we'll have a case of Posuach Lekarpath. So in our case, it's open to an open field. Afilu Machnes Umotzi Gmalim Ukronus Koleom Kulo Derech Movui. This Nochri, even if he uses the alleyway all day for his camels and his carts, Ein Oser Albanei Movui. He does not pose a restriction on the Jews who are the other members of the alleyway. Maitaima, why is it so? Answer, Bepischa Dimyachid Le Bahu Nichole. The Pischa, the opening that he has, that is of a private nature, that is what he is happy with. That's what his focus is on. Rashi says, Mishum de'ikla viro tfei movi, because that opening, that private, that window opens to a larger, to a more expansive area than the alleyway. Relative to the expansive area, the alleyway is a narrow, squalid area. And therefore, he's happier with his opening. You can see in illustration 15, that's marked with the Aleph. The Gemara continues with a question. We look at illustration 16. Very similar case. However, here the window opens to an enclosed area, making it more similar, we'll say, to the alleyway. What is the din here? Ibailo pasuch lekarpif. Now, karpif is an enclosed area. Later in the Gemara, we'll get into more details about different types of karpif, but in general, a karpif is a fenced-off area. What is the din then? Does the goy, is the goy considered separate because he has his private entrance or not? Omer of Nachman bar Ami, Mishmei de Upana. The triangles here highlight, as we have on the side, Deos, Be'inyan, and Al, different opinions on this issue of Pasuach LeKarpif. So Rav Nachman says, Mishmei de Upana. Upana means in the name of a tradition that he received from his Rav, who in turn received it from his Rav. So Rav Nachman says, in the name of his tradition, at the top of, now we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Afilu Posuach LeKarpif. Even if the private opening is not to a Bika, but it's to an enclosed area, like the Karpif, he is happier with that, because the Karpif is a more expansive, more airy area than the Mavui. And therefore, the Goy does not present a challenge or a prohibition for the B'nai Hamovu, for the Jewish members of the alleyway. He is, in simple terms, the Goy is considered out of the picture. Rabbo v'Rav Yosef, again, you can see them in a triangle, as they too have an opinion regarding the entrance or the opening to a Karpif. The Amri Chavai, they both say, and they make a distinction between a Nochri and a Yisrael. On the side, we highlight the double underline. We have Nochri and Yisrael. Chiluk b'nehem, a difference between them. Legabi godel hakarpif, shepischoi shelohem posuach lo. Regarding the, in the context of the, again, the size of the karpif that their openings open to. So in the case of a nochri, the Gentile who is in that alleyway, base sosayim oser, if his opening opens to an enclosed area measuring a mere base sosayim, so base sosayim is an area that would be the equivalent of 5,000 square amos, then he will not prefer that opening. It's not a sufficiently large carpet for him to be happy with that. Yoiser mi beis sosayim eino oser. However, if it opens to a large enclosed area, then he will opt for that as his primary opening and will thereby be removed in our mind's eye from the Mavui. The Yisrael. Imagine a case of a Yisrael who is in this alleyway, and he did not contribute to the Eruv. He forgot and didn't contribute to the Eruv, and as such, he would potentially present a problem. Can we say that the Jew is out of the picture using this same analysis? So you'll see now a difference. The Yisrael who did, not make an Eruv, and he has a separate opening, Beis Sosayim Eino Oser, if it opens to an enclosed area measuring no more than a Beis Sosayim, then the Jew is out of the picture. You see, an enclosed area
uphill, a base osayim, is something fit for use. You can carry in that area. It's a rishus hayochid that one is allowed to carry. It's an enclosed area that is mutter for his use. Yoiser mi beis osayim oser. However, if that enclosed area measures more than a beis osayim, it then, even though it's enclosed, so that maybe midoraisi would call it a rishus hayochid. However, there is a rabbinic restriction in carrying in, within a carpet that's more than two sa'ah, more than a beis osayim. And as a result of that, he's not happy with that area, and it's therefore oser, the Jew who did not contribute to the Eruv in a Jewish alleyway, he will be the source of restriction. Bomine Rava Bar Chakloi Meirav Huna. Rava asks a question of Rav Huna concerning the Goy, and this is basically just a continuation of what we've said already. Posuach lekarpif ma'u, let's say the Goy has an opening to a karpif. What is the din? Is the Goy still part of the alleyway or not? Or is he, in our mind's eye, considered a separate entity and removed? Amalei. So Rav Huna answers, Hare Omru. It has been said, base sosayim oser, if his opening is to an enclosed area, a karpif measuring a base sosayim, then he is not considered removed from the alleyway, and he does present a source of restriction. Yoser mi base sosayim eino oser. However, if the karpif unto which his window opens is more than a base time, he is happy with that expansive area and will therefore be considered removed from the movui and thereby not presenting any restriction. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side under our nosei, our topic heading, Karpif Yoisumi Beis Osayim, Shalo Hukof Ladira, an enclosed area that measures more than more than 5,000 square amos, and it was not enclosed for dwelling purposes. It was simply a fenced off area, but not for dira. Hazorek mishusarabim l'soichu chayav. One who would be standing outside of that enclosed area in a public thoroughfare, in a real rishusarabim, and would throw some projectile into this enclosed area, he will be considered chayav. He's guilty of a Torah level Shabbos violation of going from a public domain to a private domain. Why? The dino kirishus hayochid midoraisa. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan. This large enclosed area, this karpif yoshim beis osayim, even though it was not hukaf ladira, and being that it's not hukaf ladira, by the way, is the case we alluded to before of a karpif that you are not allowed to carry in it. Because it's such a large area, people could confuse it with a rishus harabim. So, rabbinically speaking, one is restricted to carrying within such an area, even though it's enclosed. But what we just got finished pointing out is that on a Torah level, it is considered a rishus hayochid. Now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Ula, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Karpif yoshimi beis osayim shelo hukaf ledira. An enclosed area measuring more than a beis osayim, but it was not enclosed for dwelling purposes. In other words, it's not a case where there was a house and then you built a fence around the house, which would be a totally different story, but it's lo hukaf ledira. Vafilu kur, vafilu kurayim, even if it measures 30 saw, or kurayim, 2 kur is 60 saw. Hazorek l'soichichayef, one who throws a projectile from a public domain, from a rishus harabim, into this large enclosed area, he is guilty. He's chayef of what we call a hoitzah. He's chayef of transferring something from one Torah domain to another Torah level domain. In this case, he's throwing from a public domain to a private domain. my taima. Why is this the case? Why is he guilty? Mechitzahi. This is an enclosure creating rishus hayochid. Now, if that's the case, why is there any restriction? Why is there a carrying restriction? Ella shemuchuseres dirun. And however, it is missing residents or dwellers within. And it's that issue that creates the, we'll call it, creates the problem or the restriction of carrying. It's in this case that the Rabbanon imposed a carrying restriction so as not to confuse it with a Rishus HaRabim. A question. And the question, you can see, lasts quite a few lines. We'll present you with a Tanaic source. There's a phrase in this source, the closing phrase, is not clear. What part, what is it referring to? Is it referring to the end of the source? In other words, the Seifa, that which was mentioned close to the end, or is it a throwback? Is the closing phrase a throwback to something earlier in the source? And we will, as we said, there's a question raised on Rabbi Yochanan from a Tanaic source, and you'll notice after the source there are triangles and other markings. So under the Mivneh heading on the side, we feature this triangle, and we've noted Birur, an attempt to clarify La'an Shayach Mishpat Achron Shel Mokur Shehuva Kikushel Din Hanal Dino Shel Rabbi Yochanan. So we're going to go through stages in trying to figure out what that last phrase of the source we haven't learned yet, what it's going on. So now let's see the Gemara and the question. It's a long question. Mosiv Rav Huna Bar Chinana. We should take advantage of diagram 17 on page 140. You see a body of water. In this case, we're going to refer to it as the sea, and a protruding rock. And the dimensions of the rock are what will concern us. So the Gemara will speak about a rock that measures 4 by 4 tvochim and a height of 10 tvochim. Mosiv Rav Huna Bar Chinana, Sela Shebayam Gavoa Sora V'Rocha Varbo. A rock protrusion in the sea that measures 10 tvochim high and 4 by 4 tvochim on the surface. Ein metapelin lo min tocho liyam velo min hayam letocho. One is not allowed to transfer items from on top of this rock protrusion to the sea, nor from the sea to the rock protrusion. And this restriction is even within 4 amos. In other words, the mere transfer of an item from one domain to the other is forbidden. The rock protrusion is classified as a rishus hayochid. It has all of the necessary dimensions to make it into rishus hayochid. The sea, in fact, is called a carmelis. So there's no permission. One is not allowed to transfer something from a private domain to a carmelis. Therefore, even within 4 amos, there is a restriction. Pochos mikan metapolin. Less than this. Let's say it's less than 10 tvochim high, so then you can transfer something from the sea to the rock protrusion, being that it's less than 10 tvochim, so it too is classified as a carmelis. So you're going from one carmelis to another, provided you stay within 4 tvochim, because when you're dealing with a carmelis, this rabbinic realm, you cannot carry more than 4 amos. But as far as going from one type of carmelis to the next, as long as you stay within 4 amos, there is no problem. The closing phrase, ad kamo, ad base sosayim. Rashi says, ad kamo yehi rochav, rochav sela. Up till what amount of width is the rock? So it says, in this source, until 2 sa'a. Now, the Gemara, ahe, on what is this closing phrase referring? This last phrase, which read ad kamo ad beis sosayim, I lemo aseifa. If you think that it's going on the seifa, bear in mind the triangles represent here stages in trying to figure out what this last phrase is going on. If you say it's going on the seifa, namely the idea of moving something from the rock to the sea, the source had said toward the end that if it's pochos mikan, mitatalin, you can, if it's less than 10 tfochim high, you can move items from the rock to the sea. So is this last phrase, which restricts you to base sosayim, is that going on the seifa? Ilemo aseifa. Well, then base sosayim tfei lo, namely that you're allowed to metatel from the rock to the sea if it measures a base sosayim. And if it would measure more, you would not be allowed. Fahami karmelis le karmelis ko metatel. If the closing phrase is referring to the pochos mikan, the rock protrusion that itself was a mere karmelis, then there would be no restriction with regard to the surface area. You wouldn't say only up till a base osayim, because even if it were more than a base osayim, something like that, that's less than 10 tfochim tall, and measures more than a base osayim, is all the more so a karmelis. And therefore, there wouldn't be any restriction of carrying from it to the sea, within 4 amos, of course. Hello, lav, aresha, v'hochi ko'omar. So rather, this ad kama besai must be going on the resha, and the source would read as follows. So what we're going to do now, and this is what we see in the frame, the source is reread, and then we have the Gemara edition with a house marking, which we call a diuk from the source, an inference from the source. And that will give us the pshat. So what is the resha? How would the source read if you attach the last phrase to the resha? Thusly, Selo Shebiyam, Gavoa Asor V'rochav Arba Eimetaltalin, Lo Mitocho Liyam V'lo Minayom L'Torchei. If you have a rock protrusion with these dimensions of 10 tfochim of height, 4x4 tfochim of surface area, so you cannot carry from it, or transfer an item from it to the sea, nor from the sea to it. Because there you're dealing with going from a formal reshus hayochid to a karmelis, which is something that is not allowed. The ad kamo, up to what point is this iser? Ad base sosayim. This iser is up till the surface area of the rock being base sosayim. Notice, this is the closing phrase of the original source. And we're attaching it to the resha, as we just did. And now we would infer that the iser tiltal is only up till a base sosayim. Ha yeser mi base sosayim metaltalin. However, if the rock surface measures more than a base osayim, so then you could transfer something from it to the sea and from the sea to it. Why? Because you're going from a karmelis to a karmelis. We must emphasize, we dashed underline yes or me base osayim, when you have something that's more than a base osayim, it's called a karmelis. Almo karmelisi. So that you see from this inference that something that is more than a base osayim is called a karmelis, and that is tiyufta de Rabbi Yochanan. That would appear to be a repudiation of Rabbi Yochanan. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan said, something that's more than a base osayim, being that it's enclosed or it has mechitzas, like our case, the rock protrusion, the fact that it has a height of 10 tfochim is the equivalent of a mechitza, it's the equivalent of a fence, it's a 10 tfochim height. Rabbi Yochanan said that such a thing is called a rishus hayochid. In this source, we see it's referred to as a karmelis. Omar Rava. Now, marking wise, you see a diamond, and on the side of the Gemara, we say the diamond represents Shnei Tshuvas La Takafta Al Rabbi Yochanan, two responses to the attack that we just heard on Rabbi Yochanan. So Omar Rava, approach number one. He says, Man de lo yoda trutzi mas naisa, one who doesn't know how to straighten out a Tanaic source, t'yufta moisiv lei le Rabbi Yochanan, the nerve to ask a question from it on Rabbi Yochanan. So Rava is saying, how in the world can you ask, can Rav Huna bar Chinuna ask a question from a source that he himself can't read straight? And so Rava takes the same source and deals with the closing phrase and explains it in a different way. And this different way will then show that there was no question from the first place. So he says, Li'olam Aresha. Let's glance at the Rashi just for introductory purposes. Rashi, a couple lines down. See, we have a little star over the Rashi. Dibor Masa Le'olam Aresha. V'lav Amitocho Le'am Koi. So that the closing phrase really does link up with an earlier part of the source, but it's not referring to the case of moving something from it to the sea. Elo Adiyuka Koi V'hochi Kodayik. But rather, the closing phrase is referring to a point of inference, and thusly it is to be read. Vochi kodayik, ha besocho metatalin. In other words, we saw in the resha of the source that one's not allowed to carry or transfer something from the rock to the sea, in leaving us room to infer that on the rock itself, you could move things around. The Horus Shusei Yochid, it is considered Shusei Yochid, a private domain, and you're allowed to move things around on a private domain. Ad Kamo Ad Beisosayim. The ability to be metatil on the top of the rock is true up till a surface area of 5,000 square amos. Avolt Fei Loi. But to carry things in a surface area measuring more than Beisosayim, that is not allowed. The Shavir Bonan Kikamlusin and Tiltil. The rock protrusion, even though it has a height of 10 tfachim, rabbinically speaking, it's called a karmelis regarding the area, the topic of carrying things. Mishum the mechusar dira, because the rock protrusion is not something that people live on. Umichlifish sarabim, people could confuse it with a public domain, and therefore we want to restrict carrying on it. Mihu the inyan mitocho liyam reshus hayochid hi. But as far as Rabbi Yochanan's din, namely transferring something from the rock into the sea or vice versa, that would still hold true, like Rabbi Yochanan said, because it's a reshus hayochid. So now let's read this in the Gemara. Rava says li oilam aresha vehochi koomar. The source, after having said that you cannot carry from the rock, transfer something from the rock to the sea, ha besocho metatalin, but with on the rock itself, you could carry things around. The ad kama, how much surface area of the rock can exist and still be allowed to carry things, ad besosayim, and that's here you see the closing phrase of the original source, what it is attached to. Rav Ashi Omar, a second approach to deflecting the question that Rav Huna Bar Chinuna asked earlier. Li'olam Aresha. And once again, let's take a look at the Rashi. Rav Ashi Omar Li'olam Aresha V'lav A'diyukukoi. Unlike Rav's approach, Rav Ashi says that the closing phrase of the original source is not going on the inference. Fiafilu leinyan mitocho liyam nami karmelis shavua vishori. And even with regard to carrying from it to the sea, they it would be allowed. Mihu l'Rabbi Yochanan lo tikshi. But now you see, by saying this, that from it to the sea, one would be allowed to move things because it's a carmelis, that would seem to be against Rabbi Yochanan. And Rashi points out, Mila Rabbi Yochanan lo tikshi. It's not a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Devadai le'inyin chiyuvo midoraisa rishus hayochid hi. Certainly, with regard to Torah level prohibitions or Torah level concerns, the rock protrusion is a private domain. Umay taimo shoru rabbonu tutule minei lekarmelis. Why then would the rabbonon allow carrying, transferring something from it to the sea? Mishum de iser tiltol mirshus hayochid lekarmelis midrabbonon hu. Because the whole problem of going from a private domain to the Carmelis, namely going from the rock protrusion to the sea, is only a rabbinic restriction. The Hamom Ruzos, they are the ones that said it. It's not a Torah level prohibition. The Haim Omru Od Isur Acher. And they said another prohibition. And the other prohibition is carrying on a, you know, in a Carmelis, that were in a carpet measuring more than two sa'ah. The Rosh Shein Shneim Oindin Kan, and the Rabbonin beheld that their two restrictions are not going to stand up. They're not going to last here. Ubitlu ze mipnei ze uchidim afroash. And you'll see that they relieved one of their restrictions in favor of preserving the other. Now that is a bit vague, and Rashi himself says uchidim afroash, as will be explained. The Gemara continues. As we saw already in the Gemara and in Rashi, that Rav Ashi says that last phrase of the original source of Ad Kamo Ad Beis Sosayim is in fact referring to the Resha, and thusly we are to make sense of things. Hain Omru. Let's read that line again. Le'olam ha'resha, hein omru ve'hein omru. The rabbis said this, and the rabbis say that. Hein omru. Karpif yisr mibes sosayim shaluhukuf ledira ein metalpun bo'elu b'dal amas. Here is an example of a rabbinic halacha. It's a stringency. Namely, you have a closed area measuring more than a beis sosayim that was not enclosed for dwelling purposes. One is not allowed to carry things within that enclosed area more than four amos. Vehein omru, the rabbis also said, ein metaltelin mirshus ayochid lekarmelis, that one is not allowed to transfer things from a private domain to a carmelis. That too is a rabbinic teaching. And now Rav Ashi explains in detail. There are two situations. Beis sosayim, the shori the tutu begulei, a karpif, an enclosed area measuring beis sosayim, not more than 5,000 square amos, which is an area that is mutter to carry things within. Asri rabbonu tutuli lo minayam lesocha velo misocha leyam. Being that you're allowed to carry within such a beis sosayim, the rabbonu said, don't transfer things from it to the sea, nor from the sea to it. My taimo. Rishus ayochid gemurahi. The karpif beis sosayim, even though it was on hukav ledira, is a total rishus ayochid. It's a complete rishus ayochid. And therefore, we don't allow. The rabbis are not willing to allow carrying things from the karpif beis sosayim or the rock protrusion measuring beis sosayim to the sea. However, yeser mi beis sosayim, if the rock protrusion surface area is more than two saw, the osur l'tutule b'kulei, being that it's more than a beis sosayim, there's a rabbinic ruling that you're not allowed to carry on it. As we said earlier, it's a large area. It's not hukaf l'shem dira. It could be confused in people's minds with a Rishus Rabban. So the Rabbonin issued a restriction of carrying on it. In this case, the rock protrusion measuring more than a beis sosayim. So, being that there is this restriction of carrying on it, Sharu Rabbanan Tefillin Mitochei LeYam UMinayam LeSocho. The Rabbanan said, you are allowed to move something from this rock protrusion measuring more than a base osayim to the sea and from the sea onto it. What are we really saying? So that this yes from the base osayim area on a total level though is a rishus hayachid because it's a protrusion of more than 10 tvachim. However, as we're just repeating ourselves now, however, it is an area that one cannot carry on more than 4 amos. So, being that you're not allowed to carry on it, the Rabbanan said, you know what, we'll allow you to transfer things from it to the sea. And don't make any mistake about this. We're dealing with something that on a total level is a Rishus Hayochid, and they're allowing you to go from the Rishus Hayochid to the sea. My time, oh. Why are they allowing you to be metaltil from it, namely the Yesher Mebeis assigned to the sea? The answer is, Dilmo Amri Rishus Hayochid Gemurahi. If they wouldn't allow carrying things from it to the sea, people would say, oh, it's a total Rishus HaYochid, a complete Rishus HaYochid. They'll come to carrying on this Yeser Mibes Osayim area freely. They'll carry on it freely, figuring it's a complete Rishus HaYochid. So how did they dispel people looking at it as a true Rishus HaYochid? How, again, all of this is in a rabbinic sense. How did they dispel this? By allowing you to carry from it to the sea. The Gemara asks, Umay Shno, why is it that we are relaxing one rabbinic prohibition in favor of preserving another rabbinic prohibition? What are the rabbinic prohibitions that we just mentioned? Well, going from it to the sea is on a would ordinarily be prohibited because you're going from a Rishus HaYochid to the sea. That's one rabbinic prohibition that in this case, because it's Yesher Mebeis Osayim, we are being lenient. So why are you being lenient with regard to going from it to the sea in order to preserve the other rabbinic law of not carrying more than 4 amos on it or within it? The Gemara explains, Tocho Shachiach. We should just give by way of introduction, rabbinic laws are imposed, or rabbinic restrictions are imposed, generally speaking, on common situations. Situations that are not common, there is a tendency for the Rabbanan not to impose any gezerah, to make gezerah on a dover shelo shchiach. So, if you're asking why are we trying to preserve the prohibition of carrying on it, because that's shechiach. The Gemara says, tocho shechiach. Mitocho liyam uminayam litocho lo shechiach. Carrying from the rock protrusion to the sea. And here we're talking specifically about the case of the rock protrusion measuring more than a base osayim. To the sea and vice versa. That is not a common thing. People don't ordinarily do that. So they didn't feel it so important for us to impose that restriction. And just to repeat the point of the Gemara, by compromising this restriction, we are able to preserve the other restriction, the restriction of carrying more than 4 amos in a carpet or in an area that measures more than a base osayim, that's not hukaf l'dira. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a mivne, a structural note in the margin. You can, if you see where the diamond appears, there are gimel maisim. There are three cases or stories or incidents. Betinok, regarding a child that needs to be circumcised. Shenishba chamim shelo, where the warm water that is essential for
cleaning the baby, where it spilled out, they lost their warm water. The chipus pitaron lahasig avuro mayim chamim achirim, and the attempt to find a solution to bring other warm water. So, as the Gemara is about to begin, we turn our attention to illustration 20. Before we go on reading anything, let's take a look at that illustration 20. It's an aerial view, so you see an alleyway. You see on either side of the alleyway courtyards, and one of the courtyards you see Rabbah was living, and in addition to Rabbah, Abaye lived there, and there is a we say an opposite area with a courtyard and houses as well. Under our nosei, the topic heading that you can see in the margin, we have written Nisayon lahavir mayim chamim letzorech milo b'shabbos mibayis lebayis b'chotzer shelo irvu. Here we want to move hot water from one house to another house in a chotzer where no eruv was made. So generally speaking, if no eruv was made, so you can't carry from one house into the courtyard, having in mind bringing it to another house. You're not allowed to move anything from houses to the courtyard in the event that no eruv was made. So we are going to open up with a case, and then bow tie shapes will appear, and these are explained as Hatsa'ot Shel Rabo. We will see Rabo's suggestions, and when the squiggle underline appears in the upcoming Gemara, those represent the Chiyosef Shel Abaye. These are Abaye's rejections. The Gemara, for the last narrow line, Hahu Yenuka Dishtapich Hamime. There was a child who needs to be circumcised, and it's on Shabbos, and circumcision, of course, can be done on Shabbos. Dishtapi chamime, whose hot water spilled out. So wherever the child was located, they had prepared hot water, but it spilled out. What are they going to do now? The Rashi points out, Dishtapi chamime, the Rashi, five lines from the bottom, Shoyrotzin lemulo, vechamlu chamerev, they knew they were going to need to circumcise, and they heated up water on Friday, v'nishpachu hayom, and on Shabbos, the water spilled. So now the Gemara, Omar lehu rabah, naisu le chamimi migo besoi. Rabbah's house was in the same courtyard as the child. So Rabbah says, and this you could see clearly on the diagram, Rabbah says, bring hot water from my house to the child. And again, we don't forget, there was no Eruv that was made here. Amalei Abaye. Abaye objects. He says, V'holo arvinon, but we didn't make an Eruv. Amalei, so Rabbah says, Nismoich ashituf. The courtyards had joined together, making a shituf muvois. That's what Rabbah is assuming, that there was a joining together of the courtyards. Amarle halo shatfinan, but we didn't make a shituf muvois either. Suggestion number three: Neimru le lenochri. We should have just pointed out before we go on, in suggestion number 2, when he said Nismo HaShituf, we are given to understand, and Rashi elaborates on this, that a Shituf Muvos can compensate for a situation where no Eruv had been made. The Shituf Muvos is joining together of courtyards, and the Eruv is the joining together of houses within a given courtyard. Okay, after hearing that there was no Eruv, there's no Shituf, so Rabbah says, Neimru le lenochri le sile. Let's ask a non-Jew to bring the hot water from my house to where the child is. Omar Abaye. Abaye now tells us, Boi le'osovi lemor. I wanted to ask on Rabbah again,
V'lo shafkon, Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef didn't let me. Rav Yosef restrained me. The Amar Rav Yosef Amrav Kahana. Rav Yosef tells us, Ki avinon bei Rav Yehuda, when we were learning by Rav Yehuda, Hava Amar Omar Lon, Rav Yehuda told us the following rules. B'doraisa, Mosvinon Tufta V'hodar Avdinon Maisa. In a doraisa, on a Torah level violation, or potential violation. And you have a chacham, you have a rabbi that issued a ruling, and someone wants to challenge that ruling. So we say, let's first, before we act on the basis of the ruling, mosfinon tufta, we raise any questions or objections, and v'hodar avdina mais, and then we act. In other words, we want to clarify everything before violating what might be an isur doraisa, a Torah level violation. On the other hand, when it comes to an area of halacha which is purely rabbinic in nature, avdinon maise v'hadar mosvinon tufta. If we have a ruling concerning a rabbinic matter, not a Torah level matter, and the ruling was made, we will rely on that ruling, and any questions that one might want to raise, we ask after you acted. We are dealing with a rabbinic area of concern, namely the carrying from the water from Rabbo's house, or more specifically here, asking a Gentile to carry the water where you're not even doing anything. You're just asking the Gentile to do it and to carry the water. And this concept of asking a Gentile, which we know as Amira Liakum, this is an area of rabbinic prohibition. So, since we're dealing with something that's rabbinic in nature, Rav Yosef restrained Abaye from asking any questions, and he said, listen, let him ask the Goy to carry the water from Rabbo's house to the Tinok, and let them continue with the circumcision, and if you have any questions, you can ask them later. So they went ahead. They asked the Goy, he carried the water, and everything was fine. L'boser hachi, omarle, after they did what they had to do, they circumcised and washed the baby, Rav Yosef turns to Abaye and says, omarle, my boy, Slosofi Lamor, what did you think or have in mind to raise as an objection to to Rabba? Omar le, Desanya, I'll tell you, says Abaye, I'll tell you what I was thinking to raise as an objection. So we have a Tanaic source. The Tanaic source talks about Hazah. Hazah is the sprinkling of Pora Aduma water on someone who is Tomei. Hazah Shvus, the sprinkling of the Pora Aduma, the water of the red heifer, which affords purification, someone who was Tomei Mace. This thing, action of Hazov sprinkling the water, is something that is not prohibited on a Torah level. It's also only on a rabbinic level. The Amira Lenochri Shvus, and asking a Gentile to do something that you yourself cannot do on Shabbos, is also something that is forbidden to do on a rabbinic level. Shavuos is a rabbinic restriction. We continue at the top of Samaches. Ma hazor shavuos, the eino doiches shabbos. Just like hazor is a rabbinic prohibition, and we don't allow you to do it on Shabbos, even when there is a mitzvah at stake. And Rashi cites as an example, let us say you had someone that was tomei, and it's now the 14th of Nisan, and if he would receive the sprinkling, so then he would become tohor. But the sprinkling would be done on a Shabbos. In this case, in other words, the sprinkling, just by way of background, the sprinkling was done on the third and seventh days of his week or his 7 days of purification of Tara. So Here we have a situation of someone who is anticipating doing a Korban Pesach. However, he is Tomei Meis, and the seventh day of his, or of the third or the seventh day of this person's Tumah, of his Tara period, comes out on a Shabbos, and he would be purified, and thereby enabling him to do the Korban Pesach. We say, no, we cannot, we won't allow him to be purified. Af amira lenochi shvus v'eino doiche es haShabbos. So just like we saw the Hazal, which is, was a rabbinic, only rabbinic restricted, and yet it's not doiche Shabbos, so too amira lenochi is a shvus, and it's not, therefore, doiche Shabbos. Omar Le, Rav Yosef says to Abaye, "Velo shoni loch ben shvus de is bei maisa, the shvus de less bei maisa." Do you not make a distinction between a rabbinic prohibition like hazah, which involves an action, as opposed to something like amira lenochri, where the Jew himself isn't doing anything? So something like that is something we can be, being that there's no action, we can be more lenient. So that the third suggestion, the third bow tie that we saw on Omid, on the previous Omid Beis, where Rabba said, why not ask the Goy to carry the water from Rabba's house to where the child was, being that there's no action, there is more reason for being lenient. And the fact that Hazah is also rabbinic and is restricted on Shabbos, but there's more reason for restricting that because that involves an action. Before we conclude this, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.